My name is Linda Hendershot, and I facilitate a group called SAMS. SAMS stands for Single Awesome Moms, and that group has just been a great blessing to me. Sorry, I get teary-eyed because I'm just so passionate about what I do. And I love my moms. They're like daughters to me. And Single Awesome Moms is a group available to moms that are single, obviously, but really, really need to connect with other Christian single moms. We meet to do a Bible study, basically, because our feeling is that if we don't have a good foundation in God's Word, then it's more difficult to face life's challenges. And single moms have challenges in their lives that married people don't have, and a lot of other people don't have. So they need that group for the camaraderie, for the holding each other accountable, for the fellowship, for a lot of different reasons, and that's why we meet. One of the ladies in our Single Awesome Moms group is named Kathy. She's very special to me and to the rest of the girls. But Kathy is the mom of a recently turned 13-year-old. And her 13-year-old is an art prodigy. And I don't say that lightly. She is an art prodigy. Very, very special girl. Kathy is going blind. Our prayer is always that Kathy would receive healing for her eyes so that she can enjoy her daughter's artwork forever. But meanwhile, what's important is for her to get to church on Sundays to worship with us and to leave her daughter off into the kids' ministry because her daughter is now volunteering there. So we make sure that happens. Many of the moms take turns picking her and her daughter up for church. And then also during the week, she has regular runs like the rest of us do, whether it's to the bank, to the grocery store, to the doctor, or what have you. And she has taken the city bus for so many years, but we have moms that have stepped up to the plate and they take her to her appointments. And that is such a blessing, not just for Kathy, but for the single awesome moms who help her out. I recently asked my group of single moms why they liked the group and what it meant to them. And the first thing out of their mouth was, it means everything. And that encompasses so many things. They said that it gives them love, a sense of being, a sense of camaraderie, a sense of belonging. It gives them family. It helps them to connect with other Christian single moms that are doing life alone. And they feel not alone anymore when they have each other.
Well, good morning, everyone. How are you today? Yeah. Good to see you guys this morning. How many of you say you're looking good this morning? Come on, how many of you looking good? All right. How many of you came to church today because your team's playing and you're trying to throw up a few extra prayers? Go Bucks. Anyway, root for the home team, baby. Come on, man. Yeah. We don't have any Los Angeles fans around here anyway, do we? Okay, good. All right, because we're in Florida. Anyway, no. Oh, man. So it's so good to have you guys here. I'm really excited about what's happening. Of course, we have, you know, all of our locations that are joining us, and we have those that are watching online, the jail systems in the counties all around here. We're broadcasting as well. It's just so cool. How about we just welcome all of our family? Good to have all of you guys with us today. Yeah. And by the way, I just want to give you a little kind of insider tip that you may not understand, but you need to understand this. This is a big weekend. This is a huge weekend. And let me tell you why it's such a big weekend. Because Bayside Community Church, when you give to this church, actually, you don't really even give to this church. You really give through this church. And all the things that we are part of in our community and all the things we're doing through Kingdom Builders and all that stuff, I mean, you guys are a part of that. But we have strategic partners that, you know, our church, by the way, we are a tithing church. In other words, on Mondays, when we count the tithes and offerings that came in for the weekend, the very first thing we do is take 10% and put it off to the side. before we pay bills or pay salaries or anything else, the first thing we do is we give 10% to things outside of this church. Come on. That's, by the way, we did that before we ever even started the church. I raised $75,000 to start the church. The first check we wrote was not to secure a facility, wasn't to buy equipment. And the first thing we did is we gave it away. And so that's just kind of built in who we are, and that's why we are so passionate about giving. Not because I need your money, but I think when we honor God first, look what he does. Amen. So God is a big God. He's a good God. Amen. Well, one of our partners, we give 20% of all of our missions dollars go to an organization called ARC, Association of Related Churches, ARC. And we use that to plant other churches. Now, we were church plant number 5 with ARC. And those churches are some of the fastest growing, most influential churches all across America. And last year, those churches that we planted, I'm going to tell you how many in just a moment, those churches last year alone in 2021 gave somewhere upwards of $20 to $25 million in their missions giving as well. Come on, how many of y'all understand that's a big deal, right? And so that means when you give, that your money is going to help start those churches. And if you can see, we didn't give $25 million last year to World Missions. But see what happens when you partner with other people and you partner with the Lord, how that seed grows. You always get back more than you sow. Amen? And so, but today is so monumental because the ARC we are planting today, this weekend, our 1,000th church is being started this weekend. Yeah. Come on, y'all give God some praise for that. This is in America right now. I'm telling you, this is great to be a part of what God is doing here. And so here we were, church plant number 5. We just, we're planting 12 churches this weekend. So this weekend, ARC will supplant 1,010 churches over its 20-year span. And I'm just so honored to be a part of that. Thank you guys so much. Can we give God some praise one more time for what he's doing? Yeah. So when it comes to Bayside Church, I'm really excited about being your pastor. I love this time of the year. Yes, we're all excited that we can go eat what we want to eat, or you can jump back on social media that the fast ends today. But what I'm really celebrating is not the food that I'm going to get to go eat, just how you have been leading into God. And I pray that this hunger and this desire, that you would just continue to do that. And, you know, you can't out lean into God. You know, the more you lean into him, the more he'll do. And so I just am so proud to be your pastor. Thank you for participating in early morning prayer and just being a part of what God is doing. And I'm excited about that. And so in this season as well is when I always give you vision and what God is going to do for the year and what I believe he's speaking to our church. That's my role, is to speak things that I believe God would want you to understand as prophetically that's going to happen for you and in our church this year. So I started off with our word for the year. How many of you can remember our word for the year? 1, 2, 3, say it.
Purpose.
Hey, about 20% of you. Okay. 20% of you. I love that. Okay. I don't know if the other campuses were better. I bet East, that campus out in Sarasota, you guys probably the Fruitville and the Bee Ridge campus, you probably killed it. But if you guys would help us out here, let's say the word again. 1, 2, 3. Oh, man, you guys got it that time. You just cheated off of the other people that you heard a moment ago. Okay, so that was the word for the year. I wanted to teach you and purpose really is the reason for which something is created. I wanted to teach you why you exist, and when we understand our why, it helps us know the what. And then last week, we kicked off a series about the church. It's called Ekklesia. That's a Greek word. When we study the word of God, Jesus said in Matthew 16, I'm going to build my church. That's the word ekklesia, and we talked about how God, when we do that, he brings favor, and he opens doors, and he gives us authority to walk through things that we can't do when our lives are not partnered with the church. Well, we're going to continue that series today, and I want to teach you some more about this word ekklesia, which is a group of people that are gathered together for a purpose. Can we say that word again? Say purpose. And so here's what we're going to do today. We're going to study the book of Acts. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. We're going to study verses 42 through 47. Now, remember, this context is so important for you to understand. Jesus mentions the word in Matthew while he's still on this earth, and he says, I'm going to birth something, I'm going to birth my church, okay, and I'm going to build it, I'm going to do great things. And then Jesus dies, And then approximately 50 days later, Jesus, before he leaves, actually he says, don't go anywhere because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and he's going to empower you to be the church, this group of people, to accomplish the calls, but you need Holy Spirit before you try to do that, okay? So Jesus dies. 50 days later, we get to the day of Pentecost, penta meaning 50, 50 days after Jesus' birth, Holy Spirit falls, crazy things happening, tongues of fire, people speaking languages all around the world, people getting saved. It's a phenomenon that is incredible. It's like that's the birth of the church. It's the New Testament church, which we are all still a part of right now till he comes back again one day, right? So that's what we're supposed to be doing. Now we're going to go to the very beginning of the church. Now that we see what Jesus said, this is what I want the church to function like or to be like. Today we're going to look at actually in Acts chapter 2, how the church functioned. And over the next several weeks, there's three parts in Acts chapter 2 that we're going to study. Last week, I called it the ideal church. In other words, what kind of church is God looking for? Today's going to be the functional church. How are we supposed to function as a church? Okay. Next week's going to be the relational church. How do we interact with one another since we're all a part of this cause? And the last week's going to be the spiritual church. And it's going to be good all of these times. The worship night tonight that we're doing all of our locations. And on the last week, we've created some environments and things for God to spiritually for heaven, as we talked about in praying when we partner with God, how heaven will come down and touch earth. We're going to talk about that, how that happens. Signs and wonders, as the scripture says, that we're going to study today. And we're going to create space, and God's going to do some miracles, some signs and wonders. People are going to be healed, delivered, and set free. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss the last week. Okay, but this week's going to be good, too. So I don't want you to, like, tune out, because there's a pretty good guy up here today. Okay. Okay, so are you ready? All right, Acts chapter 2, we're going to read verses 42 through 47. It says they, meaning this group of people that are the ecclesia, they're gathered together for a cause. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and here we are. There were miracles and wonders and signs that were performed by the apostles. That's the spiritual church. All the believers were together and they had everything in common. See this part they're talking about here, the relational church. We're going to talk about that next week. They sold their property and possessions, and they gave to others as they had need. They were together. They were highly relational. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. This is the functional church, okay? They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And they were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And then the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Would you do me a favor? Would you close your eyes? Would you lay aside distractions for just a moment, and would you please open your heart to the Lord? God, I thank you for your word. Your word is alive. It is active, and it's powerful than anything that we're facing right now. And every devil in hell that would want to steal the word of God from going out today, I command you in Jesus' name to release your people and let them go. I pray for stilled minds and quiet hearts. I pray for people that are ready to receive the word of God. May we lean into what you're saying today, God. May you help me communicate your word in a way that you would want to communicate it, that we can receive it and it can be planted in our lives. And we're going to leave this place different than we came in Jesus' name. And if you believe that, come on, let's give God some praise for what he's going to do. Amen. Okay, so these people, it says that they're gathered in the temple in the church. That's what we would call the church. They gathered daily. We only do it on the weekends. They were meeting in the church every day. So how many of y'all think we can do it once a week? About 20% of you. Okay. So this is something that's very important I want you to understand. I've got a lot to cover today, by the way, just so you know. Okay. I have 11 points in my message today. So you're going to have to put your brain on, but I promise, since I have so many points today, my sermon next week will be completely pointless.
I'll be here all weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Okay, so here's what's important. We're studying the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the New Testament book that's the historical book. In other words, it shows us the history of the Acts of the Apostles through the Holy Spirit. Because remember, they didn't do any of this stuff until Holy Spirit came. So the church, we can do nothing apart from Holy Spirit, which is why we're doing a series after this to teach you about Holy Spirit. Man, you don't want to miss church. January, February, and then we're going to keep it going. March, April, May, June. This is going to be one of those years. You want to hit like the 50-week mark for sure this year, okay? Maybe 30%. Okay, I got it. I like it. All right. So the book of Acts is the historical book. Now, most of the other books in the New Testament are letters that were written to the churches that they helped start. Because the Acts of the Apostles, by the Holy Spirit, they took the word of God and it spread all over Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and it went to all kinds of countries and regions, and they planted churches. Okay, that's the history of the New Testament, the birth of the New Testament church. And then the epistles that we read, the other letters in the New Testament, are a lot of letters that were written to churches to teach them, okay, how do you do this function thing inside your church? Okay, so that I wanted you to understand what the New Testament is and how it's laid out. So today, what we're going to do is look in Acts chapter 2. There's so many things in there that they say this is the function of how the church was started, and it's how it should continue now. And I want to teach you these things so you know, why do we do what we do when we come to church here? It's going to help you understand, because that's the purpose of how God set the church up. Okay, you ready? Here's the first thing that we can learn from Acts chapter 2, and that is that they studied, write this down, God's word. The church was centered around is the very first thing that talks about how the church functioned. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, when the apostles were teaching, the Bible that we have now wasn't written yet. They wrote it, okay? So, but they were still teaching the gospel and the word of God. Well, they had the Old Testament, right? But the New Testament wasn't written yet. And so they were teaching them through the word of God the importance of why the word is so important in the message of Jesus Christ. And you may say, well, why is all this scripture and studying it so important? It's a wonderful question that you asked. Look in 2 Timothy. It says, all scripture. All. That's an important word. Would you write that in your notes? All. That's the English word all. If you go back to the Greek, which is the original language of the New Testament, the word all in Greek means all. Okay, that's deep. All right, I just want you to know. All. All scripture, what about it? It says it is God-breathed. In other words, it's not man's idea, by the way. God used man. God's using man today to speak to you. And hey, if he could use a Cajun, he could use anybody, all right? But all of God's word, it is God-breathed. It is inspired by him. And look what it's good for. Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Pastor David said that God's word shows us what is right, what is not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. Dynamite, that's right. Okay. Right? That's what this is saying, right? It shows us here's what is right, what's not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. So that we, the servant of God, the people of God, we can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I promise you, it doesn't matter what you're going through right now. It doesn't matter what question you have, what decision you're trying to make. The word of God speaks on that. It does. It gives principles. I never forget when this came to light to me so greatly. Amy and I were trying to decide. I wasn't in ministry yet. I was kind of part-time ministry and still working in the world, selling medical supplies, you know, in the secular world. And I had an opportunity, Amy and I did, to move and take this job promotion. And we were trying to figure out, what do we do? What do we do? I don't know what to do here, God. And then we read Proverbs 4 when it says, don't worry, instead pray, and I'll give you peace. And God dropped in our heart, Randy, you don't have to figure out what to do. Just quit worrying and start praying, and I'll give you peace. So Amy and I started pursuing this opportunity, believing that God would give us peace or we wouldn't have peace. And we know that decision is not of you. And guess what? God closed the door. In other words, I was trying to make a decision about a job. And as I was studying God's word, he revealed to me how to come up with an answer. So God's word will prepare you for every work, every situation that you have in life. That's good. Amen? So let me give you what my job description is. All right? And I didn't come up with this. God gave me this. Okay? It's in Ephesians chapter 4. My job and the pastors and leaders here, our job is right here in Ephesians. These are the gifts that Christ has given to the church. In other words, these are gifts that guide and lead the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people. Here's what we're supposed to do. We equip you to do God's work and to build up the church, which is you, the body of Christ. Not a building, it's you, the body of Christ, right? This will continue until we all come in such unity in our faith and in the knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature. That's how you grow up in the Lord, is knowing what the Word of God is and being equipped by your pastors and leaders to understand the Word so you can be the complete and the full standard of what God has for you. Which, by the way, notice that word unity. A little side note. Man, I got a lot to cover today. Okay, so y'all listen quickly. The word unity. You know how we can all be in unity? We got to come under one banner, and it's the Word of God. All right? We cannot disagree on that, church. We can disagree on a lot of things, okay? Where you want to go eat today, that's your prerogative. Whether you like cats or not, but that's your prerogative, okay? But we have to all agree the Word of God is our standard, and that's how we are going to be built up, going to train and teach you the Word of God here. But we got to all decide, God, that's the standard. Okay, I want you to know that I think the Word of God, it's the thing that makes you mature. I read this article years ago that was actually in the UK, and some editor wrote in the newspaper, Young People newspaper. I don't know, that was what social media was back in the day. You actually got a piece of paper and it had news on it, and anyway, it's like a book, but they did it every day with what was happening around the world. So you had to wait the next day to find out what was happening in the world. You couldn't do it instantly. So it's called a newspaper. Anyway, just might make sure everybody's in unity here, okay? Okay, so this editor at this newspaper in the UK wrote an article saying that I don't really see the big deal in church. Why do people really need to go to church? What's the big deal? And one of the readers read it and wrote a letter to the editor and said, let me explain to you why I think going to church and gathering a church is so important. He said, because I grew up in a home, and I lived there for 18 years before I went to university, and my mother probably cooked me somewhere around 13,000 meals while I was living there. Now, today, I can't recall one meal that she ever cooked for me. However, it was those meals that nourished me and caused me to grow to become who I am today. And that's the same it is in the Word of God, in studying the Word and going to church. You may not remember, but I promise you it's feeding and it's nurturing you to become all that God has for you. So can you give God some praise for that? Yeah. We're going to have to go a lot faster than this. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, communion. We're here to study God's Word. We're here to take communion. Oops, we're here to throw water around. Pardon me. And so it says in this scripture in Acts that they were breaking bread. That's communion, okay? Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after supper, and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. First of all, I want you to realize that it doesn't tell us, that doesn't prescribe how often you're supposed to do it. In other words, some people say, well, we don't do communion often enough around here. It just says, as often as you do it, you're supposed to do it as a memorial. That's the real importance of communion. Why do we do that? We're remembering what Jesus did for us. How many of you remember how nasty your life was before Jesus? How many of you, maybe the people beside you didn't raise their hand, but you remember how nasty this person, you knew them before, you knew them in their BC days, come on, just, they were nasty, all right? How many of you would say they ain't there yet either, so go ahead and keep, God's still working on me to make me all I'm supposed to be. Anyway, that's a whole nother song, all right? But we're supposed to gather together, and when we take communion, it's remembering, wow, Jesus, I was doomed to eternal despair without you. But you took all of that upon yourself, and you did that just because you love me, and we're to remember that. I think of my kids at our house. They love to, a lot of times, to go back and watch old videos of what they did when we were growing up and vacations we took. And we just have the best time, and we laugh, and we have memory. Oh, remember that trip, and remember this? And that's, in essence, what communion is supposed to be, where we gather around, and we take that, and we remember, look at all the good things that God has done in my life. And so that's what the church does. That's why we take communion. It's a memorial for the things that God has done. Prayer is another element that is mentioned in Acts chapter 2, that we have prayer. Now, this is very important, and we could teach a whole series on prayer, and perhaps we will this year. But all Christians should be Christians that pray. And it's okay to pray foxhole prayers, right? It's okay when somebody pulls out in front of you, you just say, Lord Jesus, help me. Okay, it's okay. But that's not the only prayers you're supposed to pray. You don't just pray grace when you're about to have a meal. It's all of the, we're just supposed to be praying all the time. But there are also prayers that are meant to be in corporate settings, in large gatherings like this. Let's look what James says in chapter 5. By the way, there's more historical information for you. James. This book was written by James, the brother of Jesus. How many of you know he probably knows something about the gospel? Okay, all right. His brother, he imagine, anytime there was an argument, he couldn't blame it on Jesus. That'd have been a terrible brother to have, right? You know, you're always the one wrong. Okay, I did it again, you know, all right. I'm so glad I didn't grow up in that home. Okay, James is the brother of Jesus, and James writes this letter to Christians who are dispersed, Jewish Christians who were, they just kind of got dispersed because of persecutions and difficulties. Think about this for just a moment, because when we read this, you need to understand the context of where we've been over the last 22 months in this country and literally around the world. How people have been so dispersed and not able to gather like the Acts chapter 2 church should be. Look what he says. Are any of you suffering hardships? Then you should pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing praises. Is anybody happy in this place? Could you just give God, can you take a praise break and you just give God some praise for just a moment? Yeah. And we could go on and on and on about the thing to give God praise about. Is anybody sick? Well, then you should call the elders in the church and let them pray for you, anointing with you oil in the name of the Lord. By the way, oil in the Bible represents, it's a representation of Holy Spirit. So we're partnering with Holy Spirit. Remember, we can't do anything without him, okay? And then it says, such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick person and the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed sins, you'll be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed, because the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Wow. Look at the kind of prayer. When we gather with other people, look how much power and how many results there are. And I think that's important for us to understand. That's corporate prayer right here. And that's what this is really talking about. And look, I think that we need to realize that there's something about being committed to your local church. And maybe you're visiting and you're a part of a local church somewhere else. You got to be a part of that, because if you need prayer, we have prayer around here all the time, all of our prayer partners. There's all kind of spiritual leaders and elders to pray with you. And that's why we come here. It isn't just to tick a box that I said I went to church, but no, this is how we function as the church. And some of you are sick and some of you are going through hardships and difficulties, and there's corporate prayer and there's a corporate anointing in the presence of God that makes things powerful and produces incredible results when you take people and put them together. In fact, Jesus teaches us that. He says, I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. I also tell you this, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I'm there among them. So remember last week, Jesus, he talked about permitting and forbidding, right? And so if you missed last week, I encourage you to do that. It does not mean that we can say, God, here's what I want on earth, and I'm going to speak to heaven, and it's going to be so. It's us lining our lives up with what heaven, what God's word already says, and praying that, and that's how we get heaven to come to earth. Okay. But then he goes on here to say that when two or three are gathered, there I am. That doesn't mean that Jesus is not with you when you're all by yourself. Okay. The loneliest bayou in Louisiana, by yourself. All right. He's even in by yourself, okay? That's not what that means. Jesus is trying to teach us that there is strength in numbers. The Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, says that one can chase 1,000 and two can chase 10,000. Okay, there's synergy when we are together. Okay, prayer. Everybody say prayer. Here's the next one, praise and worship. All right. Praise is simply an expression of gratitude and appreciation to God. I'm praising you. Thank you, God, for what you've done. Worship is simply an expression of love and reverence for who God is. Okay, praise is thanking God for what he has done. Once again, how many of you can think back to a moment you thought it was going to be end of you, and yet here you are. You made it anyway. Was God faithful in that moment? Give God some praise. Another praise break. Come on, church. Give him some praise for something he's already done in your life. Is that all he did? Was it just a little something, or has God been really good to you? How many of you would be dead right now? You'd be on the streets. You'd be a mess. You'd be divorced. You'd be addicted. You'd be high. You'd be depressed. You'd be in a lot worse shape than you are right now if it wasn't for Jesus. Can you give him some praise? Come on, church. He deserves it. Yeah. Woo! Yeah. Now, the reason why you praise God is because of what he has done. But how many of you would say there's still something he needs to do? Okay. Well, you can praise him for what he's going to do because he's done it in the past. Why would he ruin his reputation on you? He'll do it again. So you can praise him ahead of time. And there's all kind of instances in the Bible. Think of Joshua and the walls of Jericho. They praised God before the walls fell. Jehoshaphat, when he's going to go battle the Moabites, they praised God beforehand, and God sent an ambush and confused them and destroyed them completely. Time and time and time again, that when people praise God because they believed he was going to do it, he did it. That's why we praise God the way we do. That's why we worship God. Worship is like, God, I just want you to know I love you so much. Now, what are the elements of praise and worship? You see them here all the time. Maybe you look at people and you see them doing this, and you think they slow dancing with Jesus. And in essence, maybe we are, all right? Because when two or three are gathered, there he is. So the Bible says all kind of, I can't teach all of this stuff, God. There's so many things that I'm just kind of hitting the high points. But lifting hands, that's part of praise and that's part of worship. That's a sign of surrendering. Clapping, shouting praises of joy. Musical instruments, it's all part of it as well. Dancing, that's why you see people going crazy. And you're like, man, what in the world are they doing? In the Old Testament, King David praised God, danced so much his clothes fell off. Now, I don't recommend that at Bayside, like at all. Some people come to church with barely enough on anyway, so we don't even want to go there. Did I say that? Oh, my Lord. Okay. And so you may ask the question like it really, that was real. I'm so sorry. You can come however you want. Well, not however you want. Everybody's welcome. We'll work it out. Okay. God, help me out of this one. Anyway. Okay, so y'all, let's get back here together on the topic at hand. Oh, Lord. So anyway, you may look at people and you wonder why. Oh my gosh. Forget it. I'm moving on. Okay, evangelism. I got to move on. God help me. I don't know if I can recover. It says that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved, right? So in other words, evangelism was part of the church. If you want to study even the calling of the first disciples, when Jesus called one of his 12 disciples, Philip went and got this friend of his named Nathanael. He said, hey, I want you to come and see this Jesus. That's evangelism. There was a time where Jesus in John chapter 4, he had a conversation with the woman at the well who was married 5 times and it was with someone that wasn't her husband. Okay. And so he told her all those things and he talked to her about living water. Like if you develop relationship with me, well, you won't need relationships of any, nothing that'll bring you satisfaction anyway. You just need me. And a revelation hit her. She became a Christ follower. And it says she went to the entire town and told everybody, you got to come and see this guy. That's evangelism. Look, it happens here all the time. People come up to me and they go, Pastor Randy, I just want you to know something. All right. I've been praying for this person for a long time. My family member, my coworker, this friend, the person I play golf with or fish or whatever it is. And listen, my neighbor, I finally got him here. Don't mess it up. You think I'm kidding all the time that we got him here. It better be good today. Is it you or Pastor Bernard? I just want to know right now. Okay. Oh, good. I like him anyway. Okay. So, yeah. It happens here all the time. So here's what I can tell you. Is that you have relationships with people that I don't have. And this is not a pastor, teacher, leader of the church responsibility. This is all of our responsibility. So you have relationships with people, and when they're going through a difficulty, you don't have to wait long. People go through a lot of mess. And when they do, and they're like, I don't know what to do. And they say, well, hey, just so happens, I know this guy. Come and see. I want to introduce you to Jesus. And you bring him to church, and we'll set up an opportunity for them to experience the presence of God and lead them right up to Jesus. And we'll make it hard for people to go to hell, but we got to do this all together in Jesus' name. Amen? Okay. Evangelism. All right. Here's the next one. Well, when we gather together, we teach our kids the value of church. Now, can I just tell you that this wasn't in Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. This is just Randy's point. Okay, so I added a little bit to it. I'm sorry. Call my overseers, adding to the word of God. Okay, anyway, here's why this is so important. Because the Bible says that you should train up a child in the way that they should go, and even when they're old, they won't depart from it. Do you know that word train means to create environments? It really has a lot to do with the environment, which definitely starts in your home. In other words, you need to create an environment in your home that is Christ-centered. And you need to teach your kids the value of the church. In that, you know, in our home, it wasn't because I'm a pastor. It's like, we're BZets. We go to church. Well, I don't care what you want. This is my house. When you get your own house, you do what you want. We going to church. We BZets. We worship God. Sunday mornings, we go to church. And we don't just go to church. We serve. We're part of church. I'm coming to that later. Okay, but that's what we do. This has nothing to do with me being a pastor. That's what Christians do. And we have to train up our children in the way that they should go. You need to make church a priority. Don't make soccer or t-ball or football or whatever else you guys are doing or on the boat and playing golf. Those things are great. And we got 6 other days we can do that. In fact, 6.5 days. You can go do all afternoon on Sunday. Be a part of God's church teaching your kids the way of the world. The way of the Lord. Why is this so important? Man, I got all that to cover still. Okay, but these are, y'all just hang on. The first commandment that God gave us was to be fruitful and to multiply. And that doesn't mean just naturally having children. God is spiritual. So he wouldn't be speaking about a natural earthly thing if he's a spiritual being. He'd be speaking about spiritual things. So what he wants us to do is reproduce and create spiritual children. So in other words, it doesn't matter how old you are, you're still living, you can create spiritual children. So take your life and invest it in other people. It doesn't mean whether you can't have natural kids. That's not the point. The point is that you invest in other people spiritually. In other words, give them Christ in their lives. And that means your children and raising them up in the things of the Lord. That's really the commandment that God gave us, to be fruitful and multiply spiritual seed into your children, not just as natural seed. Okay, what's the next one? Miracles and wonders. We're back in our verse now, okay? Acts chapter 2 says that there were all kinds of signs and wonders. We're going to cover that on the last week of the spiritual church. So why is all of this so important? I want to finish by reading another passage in Hebrews chapter 10. Now, when this book of Hebrews was written, most scholars would say that this is the Apostle Paul that wrote this. And he wrote it to Christians who were kind of wavering in their faith. And he was teaching them, since you're struggling in your faith right now, you're going through some difficult moments, what can I teach you to help your faith to get reassured again so you can stand on a solid ground? And that's what he's teaching, and I think that has a lot to do with a lot of people in the struggle that we've had over these last couple of years in making gathering as a group of people for a purpose. We've made it kind of a second thought rather than a primary thought. Look what Paul says. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. For he who promised, we already said that earlier, he is what, church? Faithful. And let us consider how we can spur one another on toward love and good deeds, and not give up meeting together, gathering, as some have developed the habit of doing that, but actually encourage one another, and all the more as you see notice the word day, the day when this thing is all over, because this day is fast approaching. So why is us gathering so important? I taught you the elements of it. Why is it so important? The first thing is it builds my faith. It says draw near to God with full assurance. You have to understand something, that God wants to meet with you and talk with you all the time. And you just got to walk right up to God and go, hey, what's up, God? Doesn't matter what's going on. It reminds me of my kids when they were young. I'm in the foyer. Some people want to talk to me. Usually you guys wait very patiently for the person in front of you, and you're like, you know, when are they going to finish? And some of you get impatient and you leave and you say, I'll see him next week. Okay, but my kids never waited in the foyer. They just walk right up and go, hey, Dad, and they just come and see me, pull on my jacket. Dad, I just want to talk to you. They have full assurance they know their father loves them. That's the way we should approach God. But the reason why we don't do that is because our conscience is bothering us sometimes. Why? Because we have guilt in our lives. Why? Because we've done things wrong. Why? Because we're human. How many of you have done something dumb like recently? Okay. So the problem is you can manage it on your own, or you actually can bring that to God who can clean up your mess. It's up to you. And so you have to realize that he's a loving God. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, double jeopardy. God's not going to make you pay for something that was already paid for. Okay, Jesus paid for the price of your sins, so you just come right up to God. But I know your life's a mess. And so that's why you miss church a lot of times. You feel guilty. Oh, I don't want to go. You blame it on other stuff. It's because you have a guilty conscience. But by coming to God, he can wash it all away. You can say, God, I confess my sins, and he forgives you of all that stuff. It's an awesome thing. And then it builds your faith to keep coming to God again and again and again and again. So it builds my faith. What's the other thing? It brings stability. Because the scripture says that you can hold unswervingly. Now, I know a lot of you have problems with swerving because I see you driving. And it's, honestly, it's embarrassing. But when you come to this environment and you get around the people of God, in the presence of God, studying the Word of God, it'll help God grow bigger in your life. That's why the scripture says faith comes by hearing the word of God. You want your faith to grow. You want to become more stable. Quit swerving in life. Then you got to be willing to be a part of God's house and hear his word all the time. I got to visit really the first ever people involved in our church, Clark and Shirley Lynn, when I was looking at, before I even knew I was going to come here, when I would come down here to visit, they would let me stay in their house, and I would travel around or ride around this area and praying, and God, is this where you want me to be? And then, of course, we ended up starting the church, obviously. But Clark and Shirley were some of the first members in our church. Well, they were the first, besides Amy and I. But anyway, Miss Shirley, they're like 85 years old now, and Miss Shirley fell and broke her hip. And so I went to the hospital the other day to go see her. And I was sitting there in the hospital, I'm not a great hospital visitation pastor. I don't like scars and all that. I mean, honestly, I end up passing out, and I'm in the hospital with you, okay? But I went, okay, and I went to go see Miss Shirley, and I walk in, and I said, how you doing, Miss Shirley? Now, she has CHF, which is fluid around your heart, and I go to see her, and I'm like, Miss Shirley, how you doing? And she's breathing real heavy, and she goes, I'm done. And I went, Miss Shirley, no. I was like, she's one of the sweetest people you ever meet in your life. She goes, I'm just done. I said, well, why? And she says, Clark, he got married to some other woman. And I went, Miss Shirley, no, he did not. She goes, yes, he did. He did. I'm done. I can't take it anymore. I'm done. How can he, after 65 years of marriage, how could he do that? I said, Miss Shirley, he didn't marry anybody. She goes, yes, he did. I saw it on TV. It was so sweet. I was like, okay. He didn't do it. She goes, yes, he did. I said, okay, who did he marry? He married his aide and his aide's mother. I'm like, well, Clark got it going on. That boy's a player. Okay, Clark did not marry somebody else, and he didn't marry his aide and his aide's mama. I'm telling you, he didn't. And she's like, yes, he did. Well, so I just like, all right, I'm taking the conversation in another direction because that's her reality, okay, and it is what it is. So we start talking about other things. And then shortly after that, she started telling me about she's going to work the other day. Okay, she's just dealing with dementia as well, obviously. Anyway, she said she was going to work the other day, and she was around this lady who speaks Spanish, and Shirley doesn't speak Spanish. And she goes, I knew everything she was saying. And she had a sick baby, and I started praying for her baby to be well. And she says, and it's like the power of God was coming out on my hands to this lady, and the baby got well. She goes, can you see the fire of God and the smoke of God all over my hands? And I went, no, Miss Shirley, I can't see it, but I want that. And I put my hand in her hands, and I said, pray for me. Oh, please pray for me. I want that. And she was praying for me. And then we started listening to some Bayside worship songs, and she started lifting her hand, and she was worshiping to your presence, changes all things, and we just work. We had the best time, and she looks at me, and she goes, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. None of the world and all the other stuff, all the problems, none of it matters. It only matters Jesus and what we do with him. And everything completely changed in her life when she started getting her attention on who God is instead of the problems that she had. Woo! I had church yesterday, guys. Man, that was a powerful, powerful moment. What does all that mean to you and I? Something about being here with God's people, studying God's word, and learning in faith together, that it'll take whatever you're like, I'm done, I'm ready to give up, and it'll turn that around. You'll say, oh, none of that really matters anyway. I'm telling you, it'll bring stability. And it gives me purpose too. Why do we need to do this? It gives me purpose because the scripture says, let us consider how we may spur one another on. Notice it says us and we. What does that mean? That means there's not a spurrer and a spurree. That means we all are doing this together. It's like, I don't come here for somebody to spur me. I come here to spur other people as well. In other words, the church should be a place where you're receiving and you're giving. You don't just come to receive, but you also give out. I met a lady at Christmas the other day in one of our candlelight services, and she was telling me about her life and how she walked into this door completely broken. Marriage had fallen apart. Her dad was on his deathbed, and she was at the end of her rope, and she was worshiping at the Lakewood Ranch campus, and somebody just during worship turned around and said, I just felt the Lord impress me that I was supposed to give you this, and gave her $100. Just, and that was it. No strings attached, nothing. I don't need to hear anything. Just want you to know God sees you, and he's looking out for you, and here, this is just a sign for God to show you that he's with you in all of this. She was weeping and crying in the foyer, and she was saying, that person changed my life and the direction of my life forever. And now, things haven't changed on the outside, but on the inside, it's changed. And you know what? Now I'm paying it forward. I'm helping other people as well. And God has done a work. I've done a growth track. I've done it all. And man, my life is just on fire for God right now. And it all just started because in an environment like this, someone chose to be a spurrer instead of just coming here for themselves. Okay, everybody, take out your phone. I got to get you to do something. This will be the most important thing you could do right now. Everybody, take out your phone or your smart device or whatever. Come on, take it all out. Turn the power on. Some of you were texting anyway. All right. I want you to turn the camera on and take a picture of me. That ain't gonna help you. No, don't take a picture of me. Okay, I want you to scan this QR code. All right, what's gonna happen is, those of you who don't know, across the banner of the top of your screen is going to be a little link. Just touch it, and it'll open up. If you are not spurring anyone in this church, it's time for you to quit being a spurree, and it's time for you to start being a spurrer as well. You got to get on a team around here. So fill that out. Send it in. We'll follow up. We'll teach you how to get involved in an area that you want to serve in, because I'm telling you, it'll give you purpose in life. Okay, last thing. Y'all ready? God, man, I'm covering a lot today. Why is this so important? Because my life is formed by my habits. All right, notice it says that we got to keep meeting together, but some are out of the habit. Just this, let me just say this final thought. Everybody listen to me. You guys are still scanning the QR code. You don't have to listen to me if you're doing that. That's way more important than what I'm saying. All right. But seriously, listen to this. Being successful in life is not a one-time decision. Your life is formed by habits, not one-time decisions. Okay, if you make good decisions, you have good habits, then it leads your life in one direction. If your life is formed by continually doing something that is not good, then guess what? Your life is gonna go in the wrong direction. So all of these things we talked about that happens when we're in church, it builds stability, it builds faith in your life, it creates continuity in your life, and those things happen because you make them a habit. And what I'm trying to tell you as your pastor is I'm discouraged at how discouraged you are because we're not having a habit of doing the things that God is asking us to do to live the full life of purpose that he has for us. So I'm just begging you, can we make 2022 a life of purpose because of the habits that we choose on a regular basis? Would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? And God, I pray right now for this church that you would help us with all diligence, God, to be a part of what you're doing. We want to be your church. the ecclesia, God, people that are gathered together for a purpose, not casually, not just kind of when we feel like it, but God, would we would be here on purpose and for a purpose and with a purpose so we can accomplish your purpose in Jesus' name, amen.
Continue to be bowed and your eyes closed. Just for a moment, let's just respect this moment right now. Nobody moving around. We're all going to leave in just a moment, but these habits that he's talking about, that's how the life change is birthed, but it starts with a decision, and maybe today you've never made the decision to follow Jesus as your Savior. Let me be very clear. Jesus came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. He died the death that you and I both deserved in our place. With his death, you have been forgiven. But he didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. He's alive and well, and with his resurrection, we now have new life in Christ. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God, that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for you. Today, if you want to make this life with Jesus a habit and you want to say yes to Jesus, then I just want to pray with you. But if you want to make that decision, nobody looking around, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand boldly in the air saying, I want to follow Jesus today. 1, 2, 3. All across this room, raise your hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you. I see you. Yes. Hands going up all over the room. Amen. You can put your hands down and let's just pray this out together as a family, because we don't want anybody who want to do it alone. We're a family here. So come on, all across this room, online, let's pray this together. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Today I choose to follow you for the rest of my life. I am not my own. My life is yours. Today I'm new. Today I'm changed, today I'm forgiven, and today I'm free. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's celebrate with everyone who made that decision. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the body of Christ. Come on, there's a party going on in heaven, and it's gonna start today. If you made that decision, we would love to connect with you. Tell somebody. Let them know. We're gonna have prayer partners up here that would love to pray for you, and people outside. Also, get connected with a group. It's groups weekend. Come on, stand to your feet. That was a good word today from Pastor Randy. Come on, this is an amazing series that we're in. Let's make it a habit. We'll see you next week. I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you as you go. God, we just pray that you would be with us, watch over us. And as you go, I pray that God would give you faith, hope, forgiveness, freedom, love, that he would reunite your family like never before. That as you go this week, you would be someone who speaks truth, who gives grace, who speaks forgiveness, that you would speak life over your situations, that you would speak life over your family, you would speak life over your coworkers, over your children, over your finances, over your prayer life, over every aspect of your life, you would be blessed and favored by the Lord. That you would make it a habit, not only to gather with the body of Christ, but to lean into him and his presence every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. We'll see you tonight for worship night, 6:30. Have a great day.